Electronic voting systems seemed like the perfect solution to unreliable paper voting, but we still need the receipts. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This week, we're talking election security and technology. Today's story starts with old tech, paper. Remember the 2000 presidential election fiasco and the hanging chads, you know, those little bits of paper that stuck to the paper ballots and confused vote counters so much that the Supreme Court eventually had to decide the election? Well, as a result, in 2002, Congress passed the Help America Vote Act. It set new voting standards and gave election offices a bunch of money, mostly for new electronic voting machines. But within a few years, election security officials were asking for a good old-fashioned paper trail.
And so at that time, around 2006, a couple of the vendors quickly designed a paper trail that they sort of just slapped onto the equipment, and it just didn't work.
That's Dana DeBeauvoir. She runs elections in Travis County, Texas, which includes the city of Austin.
It was a rather gigantic failure. If you can imagine a voting system with a cash register tape under glass, this was how most of the voting audit trails were developed. So very quickly, this paper trail fell by the wayside. And for many years, what came after was the reminder, this failed once, vendors were not going to try it again.
And so Dana DeBeauvoir set out to design her own voting machine. She called it StarVote. It's an acronym for secure, transparent, auditable, and reliable.
So with StarVote, what we said was, let's try to fix several of the problems that we have with electronic voting, including the fact that it's too expensive. So we wanted it to be an open source system. We wanted it to be very easy for voters to use. So it had to be something that they could take the paper out of the machine and look at and examine themselves.
The system would let both voters and election officials verify that votes were cast correctly. After some heavy lifting on a design, DeBeauvoir went looking for someone to build her dream voting machine. And there were no takers. Last year, she went back to the voting machine vendors to see if they could meet just two of her requirements.
One of them is we must have a paper trail that actually works, and we must have the capability to use that paper trail. We have to be able to conduct post-election audits.
And it turns out one company was able to make that work.
That's good news. The marketplace has come a long way, even if it has taken us 15 years and the incredible patience of voters to get this far.
Unfortunately, the new machines aren't expected to roll out until 2020. But paper receipts are finally part of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission's guidelines for voting machines. And DeBeauvoir says that's the key to making sure voters feel confident about voting.
And I don't think it's a matter of just trust. I think it is actual proof of the veracity of the election. Once we have a paper trail, then I think it's very difficult to call any election into question.
Tomorrow on the show, the state of Illinois voter registration system was hacked in 2016. How that state is responding and rebuilding that trust we just talked about. And now for some related links. From the Financial Times, a story about a study out of Oxford University that'll make you never want to install an app again. It looked at more than 950,000 apps on the Google Play Store in the US and the UK. Those are apps on Android. It found that almost 90% of them are set up to send information back to Google. 42% can send information to Facebook. Others can send to Twitter, Verizon, Microsoft, or even Amazon. And of course, some ad networks and data brokers. This information can include your age, gender, and location, plus information about what other apps you have installed. Now, Google responded and said the researchers were confusing basic crash reports and usage analytics with data sharing. Google said its app developers have clear guidelines for how they can use those analytics. But the researcher said it's clear that app developers are ignoring those guidelines. Oh, and this is fun. News apps, games, and children's apps seem to send information to the most third parties. And speaking of the children, in case you missed it, an astonishing story out of Florida on Monday. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said it told a shuttle company to stop testing a self-driving school bus with actual children in it. The company, Transdev, had gotten permission to test an autonomous shuttle for demo purposes, but NHTSA said, not as a school bus. I mean, at this point, I think I trust Otto from The Simpsons more than a self-driving bus. I'm just saying. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Sign up for our daily email newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 treat bags filled with some great Marketplace swag, including our high-powered phone charger, a pretty cool gadget you cannot get anywhere else. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.